Well, this morning I'm sharing a message of one of the amazing promises of God, and next week we'll be doing a different promise of God. Next week, the promise of God to the penitent, or for those who are feeling remorseful for things that they may have done, and so we'll be looking at that next week. But today, I'm looking at God's promise to the uncertain. And I read this week about a lady who owned a little canary. His name was Pretty Pete, and he was kind of a member of her family. She loved him greatly, and one day as she was vacuuming out the bottom of Pretty Pete's canary cage, she got a phone call, and so she reached to answer the phone, and inadvertently she tipped up the suction nozzle of the vacuum cleaner, and all of a sudden she heard a squawk and Pretty Pete was gone. And she realized she had vacuumed him up as well, and so she turned off the vacuum cleaner and she opened the vacuum cleaner and took out the bag and tore open the bag, and there was Pretty Pete all dirty and dusty. And so she grabbed him and pushed him under the cold water faucet, rinsed him off and kind of dried him with a towel and stuck him back in his cage, and there he was. And the person who had called on the phone called back later to check and see how Pete was doing. And so she asked the lady, "How is Pretty Pete this afternoon?" And the lady said, "Oh, he's doing all right, I guess, except he doesn't sing much right now, and he just stares off into space with a kind of glassy, blank expression." And my question is, have you ever felt like Pete? Maybe the music is gone out of life, or there's lots of staring and lots of uncertainty and wondering what just happened or why these things are happening. Have you ever asked that question? Ever wonder, what is God doing, or why are these things happening to me? The book of Job in the Old Testament is a story that chronicles some of the awful things that happen in Job's life and some of the people that will come and try to answer that question, why. And they will blame Job for some of the things that he probably has done. Somehow he's offended God. And yet we see at the end of Job that God doesn't necessarily give the answers as to why, but he shows his presence. Maybe it's the loss of a loved one or the uncertainties that are ahead of you in life that are causing questions or uncertainties. I read this week in the Upper Room daily devotion of a person who had been preparing all of their life to go into a mission field in one of those peace organizations. And they had volunteered and they had worked to try to earn a position to be able to be invited to go to the peacekeeping group. And then when it came to the final interview, they thought for sure they'd get hired for that, and yet were declined. And as you read that article, you see that the person has reapplied to a new position and is waiting to hear back to see where God might choose for them to go. Sometimes wondering what God is doing, what He's calling us, or why these things are happening is an uncertainty that we deal with. COVID-19 seems to be raising its ugly head again, as is obvious, and that adds to the uncertainty of our lives. And how do you plan for Thanksgiving? And how do you plan for worship services and activities? Maybe it's a good thing that causes uncertainty, like maybe the stimulus check came, or maybe the tax refund, or some windfall, and you wonder, what am I supposed to do with this extra profit or with this blessing? I assume there is something in your life that's causing you to ask that question. Or maybe it has happened and you're past that, or maybe it's still to come, but I assume there will be something very soon that will cause you some uncertainty. Maybe a positive thing, or maybe a thing that's hard to deal with. But there's a promise in Romans 8:28, I think, that kind of helps us when we're uncertain. And the promise says this: "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who've been called according to His purpose." And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who are called according to His purpose. God knows how to work for good. And the Bible shows again and again examples and stories and illustrations of God's goodness. Jesus, speaking to the people, said, "Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though your deeds are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to His children, to those who ask Him?" In James chapter 1, it says, "Don't be deceived, my brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father above, the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." God knows how to work for the good, and God knows how to do good things. He knows how to lead us in the right paths and how to restore our soul and to guide us in paths of righteousness. And in Romans chapter 8, we read that verse that God is working all things together for good. But Paul goes on to share some other promises. He said, "If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He also not give us all things?" And He's a God who loves without any doubt or without any hesitation, without any change. He's a God whose love is infinite. God is working together for our good. Now, the promise is not nothing difficult will happen. We know that's not true. Difficult things do happen, and the difficult things that happen are what cause us to be uncertain. And so the promise isn't to every believer, "You'll never have any difficulties," nor is the promise, "You'll never experience pain. You'll never have heartaches. You'll not have any loss of a job or a loss of a friendship or struggles with your marriage or your family. You will not hear God promise in His Word that there will be no disease or getting old or feeble except in that heavenly kingdom." The promise of God is not everything will make you wealthy and successful. Everything will work together for your good so that you will be on top of the world. That's not the promise either. And the promise is not to everyone. Some will use the phrase, "It's all good." Maybe you've heard that. But I submit it's not all good. And the promise is not to every person. The promise is offered to every person in some ways. God offers His love and His grace to everyone, but not everybody responds to that. And so the promise is to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Our love is imperfect. Our love is a response to God's perfect love. Our love is because He loved us, and we respond in a loving way to His goodness and His grace and His mercy. But He also invites people to follow Him. He invites people to come and follow Me and be My disciples. He invites people to receive His kingdom and His glory and to receive Him as Savior and Lord, but some refuse to do that. Some are called or invited, But they don't answer the call. They don't dedicate themselves to Jesus or to his plan and his purpose. And so those folks are not included in the promise. They have forsaken God's goodness in so many ways. The promise is to those who love God and are called according to his purpose, who decide to seek his plan and to follow his will. God promises to those who love him and are following his purpose, seeking his will, that all things work together for good. But you know, often God works for our good in ways that don't necessarily seem good. Sometimes he works through physical pain. Sometimes there are folks that experience some horrific physical pain, and they go through that so often, it's chronic and it's over and over. And sometimes it even causes them mental anguish as they deal with this physical pain. And sometimes, despite the pain, people turn to God and they say, "Lord, help me." And sometimes God will heal or take away the pain or maybe give them some medications that help. But sometimes God doesn't take away the pain. And yet even when there isn't healing and there's still pain, there are some who are dedicated to Christ and they've given their life to him. And despite the pain, in fact, because of the pain, they grow closer and they walk more deeply and they trust him in even greater ways. And sometimes God's goodness is seen despite the pain. Sometimes God works through losses. And sometimes losses bring people closer as families or as friends or as communities. And so when there's a tornado or a hurricane, sometimes people gather together and help one another, and there's a unity and a strength that comes in those ways. Sometimes the loss of a job might lead to a new community and a better job, and somehow we see God, as we look back, how he worked things together for good. How many losses have there been in 2020? It's been one of those years that's just been kind of crazy and kind of difficult from one beginning to the end, and somehow we've experienced a lot of those, and yet what good things have been inspired through the hard things of 2020? What blessings have happened, and how have things evolved in good ways? How has God used this year and its losses to bring good things about? And you are watching from home because somehow God has given us the tools and we've learned how to at least stay connected in virtual ways. There are all kinds of things that have been inspired by the losses that people have experienced. And throughout history, the hard things and the losses have caused us to seek good and better. And God works through losses. Sometimes he works through changes. And the changes that have come in this past year and the changes that are yet to come, even as election week is coming up this week, there are changes. Some of them are good things, and some of them are maybe not so good. And your opinion and your take on things that happen may be different than someone else's, but changes can cause us to seek other directions. Changes can cause us to try new things. Changes can cause us to learn how to develop new medicines, or maybe how to develop new friendships, or how to reach out in ways that we haven't done before. Sometimes we dislike change. And yet most of us, if we're honest, dislike the same old thing over and over again. And so sometimes God brings change into our life to bring freshness and newness and to cause us to do some new things. God works for our good, even in ways that sometimes may not seem good at first. I believe God works sometimes through people who seem to be our enemy, or at least are evil or ungodly. If you read in the Old Testament, Nebuchadnezzar was the the king of the Babylonians and the enemy of God's people, and he destroyed the land and the city of Jerusalem, took the people away as captives to that foreign land, and yet God used Nebuchadnezzar to help turn the people of God back to him. And he used Darius to defeat King Nebuchadnezzar and somehow bring the people back to that promised land. We see God working through an evil and ungodly king. And sometimes we see that happen in other things. How tragedies and difficult things happen. Sometimes our enemy shows us our faults or shows us our weakness, and sometimes we grow stronger because we see our weakness or we're told of things that we didn't know before. And there are terrible tragedies that have happened. There are school shootings, racial injustices. There's bigotries and wars, and somehow we think, how can this be for our good? How can the Holocaust result in good? And yet, in some ways, because of those horrible things, we've learned how to grow closer, and we've learned how to protect ourselves, and we've learned somehow to understand the pain and the struggles that people are going through. And it doesn't mean that we shouldn't stand up for right and good, but somehow God works through those hard things and those evil things even for our good. And sometimes God may be working in you to help someone else or to work good things in somebody else because of what you've been called to do. And maybe you feel like you don't do very much or what you do is a little thing or a simple thing, and yet how good is an encouragement? How much of a blessing is a person who compliments or who helps somebody through a tough time? And so many times we see that little card or that little note or that little email or that message or that plate of cookies, those kinds of things somehow are such a blessing. And God can use you to bless and to minister and work good things for others. God's promise to the uncertain is that he is able to work all things together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. God is Almighty. He's able to do that. He is omnipotent, all-powerful. He can make those things come together in just the right time and just the right way. But sometimes I doubt. I wonder, how can this be for my good? How can this be a blessing in disguise? And sometimes I see God working and I think, I know what he's doing and let me help. And I get impatient and I sometimes try to run ahead. Well, how can a believer apply this promise to his life? God promises to work things together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. How do we live that out? And I want to suggest three ways. First of all, we need to learn to trust God's plan even when we don't understand. Sometimes we need to learn just to trust and to walk with him when we don't know what's happening. Paul, as you read in Romans chapter 8, talks about this promise of God working things together for good, but he also gives us some other ideas of God's work. He says in verse 31, what shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, along with Jesus, graciously give us all things? And so we learn to trust that God is at work in all things. In verse 37, it tells us that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us, and that he is a God who knows the plan, and he knows what's going on, and eventually we'll conquer and we'll overcome by his power. He knows the plans he has for us. And in Jeremiah in the Old Testament, it tells us, God says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, but to give you hope and a future. And so trust the plan even when you don't understand. And a second way to apply the promise to your life is to remember how much you're loved. Remember how gracious and how loving our Heavenly Father is, a God whose mercy never fails, whose love never ends. He says in Psalm 136 over and over, His steadfast love endures forever. And here in Romans chapter 8, Paul finishes that section, this part of the New Testament letter with a great affirmation. He says, "For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And so remember how much you're loved. Love from God means goodness. God who loves us wants to do good in our lives and wants to bless us. And so remember, second of all, how much you're loved. And thirdly, as you apply the promise to your life, learn to wait. Learn to wait on the Lord. The promise reminds us that if we wait on the Lord, we'll gain new strength and mount up with wings as eagles. And so as we learn to wait for God's plan to unfold, His purpose to be shown, we often get impatient. So often I think I see what God's doing and I jump in and try to fix it myself or to handle it myself. And I want to get things over with. I've got things to do and things I want to do. And so why don't you just let me handle this, God, and I mess it all up. Learn to wait. Learn to wait, and while you wait, maybe listen for what God might be saying in that still, small voice, or listen to what others might be saying. Maybe we can hear their cries and hear their struggles and be of a blessing to them. Learn to listen while you wait. I read of 4-year-old Jason, who was visiting his grandparents. Grandpa was in his study reading intently in a book, and Jason walked in carrying a peach. And he said something to Grandpa that Grandpa didn't quite hear and didn't quite comprehend, and so Jason handed him the peach. And thinking that this was a snack from his wife, Grandpa took it and began to eat. And just as he swallowed the last bite, he looked over and Jason's bottom lip was quivering and there was a little bit of a tear in his eye. And Jason said, "But Pap, I didn't want you to eat it. I just wanted you to take the worm out of it." And I wonder, have you ever swallowed a worm because you didn't wait and listen for God's message? Sometimes we need to wait and allow God to work and not get in a hurry, but to listen and to try to comprehend and to hear what others are saying so that we can kind of make sense as best we can when it comes together. Are you uncertain? Do you wonder what God is doing? I can tell you one thing for sure. The promise in His Word says that He is working for your good if you love Him and you're called according to His purpose. The story is told of a man who sent his wife and daughters on a ship across the Atlantic Ocean while he stayed behind as he had some work to do. And he would catch up with them and they would visit together in the family over in England, I believe. And as the wife and daughter were traveling across the sea, there was a terrible storm and a shipwreck, and the ship went down, and the wife and the daughters were drowned, killed at sea. And eventually he received a telegram telling him that his wife and daughters had perished in that shipwreck. And so he hurried and got on the next ship, and he traveled by ship across the ocean. And the story tells us that when he got to about the place where the ship had gone down, he began to think about his wife and his children. But he also began to pray, and he wrote the lyrics to the song that so many of us have learned to love. He wrote the words, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, you have taught me to say, it is well with my soul." And in that song, we hear God affirming. He's working all things together for good. And had that horrible shipwreck not happened, maybe we never would have sung the song. It never may have inspired so many people. And yes, what a horrible loss. And yet somehow there's good that's come even out of those things. Whatever God is doing in you, we trust Him that He is working those things for your good. Shall we pray? Help us, Father, to learn to trust Your plan even when we don't understand. Help us, Lord, to remember always that You are a God of love, and that as we love You and are called according to Your purpose, we are seeking to follow after You. We've heard Your call to come and to be a disciple, to love You and receive You, and we are seeking to do that. Lord, help us to remember that You are God of love, and Lord, help us to wait. Teach us to be patient and teach us to listen to Your voice and to the cries of others who are in need as well. And teach us, Heavenly Father, just to believe in Your promise and to know that whenever the time is, whenever it's right, You will come through and You'll show us what You're doing, or at least show us that there is good despite. Father, give us faith and give us courage. And in this uncertain time, Lord, even today, may we trust You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.